Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
This message series that we're working on right now, I can't think of one that I've even been more serious about or found it to be more important. It's not because I'm speaking, it's because it is important. The things we're looking at, let me just ask you this. Do you ever feel helpless in this world? Do you ever feel like that this thing has just gone nuts and you don't have a way to bring it back together again? No matter what you do, you write your congressman, you try to support the police, you try to support everyone you can, it just seems like it just continues to go down a big swirl. Well, I want you to know you're not. But it may not be the answer that you're thinking about. If your faith extends only to being able to escape here, then I'm going to encourage you, listen carefully what we're saying today. When Jesus Christ saved you, it wasn't just to get you out of a bad place and get you into a nice heaven. If your faith can't look past heaven, then your faith is still weak. Christ didn't just die, which would have paid for your sins. He was raised again from the dead. And being raised again from the dead, he raised you from the dead. You follow where I'm at? You've been raised out of this dead world for a purpose. You're here for a purpose, and it's not just to slide your way comfortably into heaven. That is really a slam in the face of the God who saved us. We have a reason for being here, and I want to just see if I can set the scenario to tell you why this is so important. Our way of dealing with the mess that's in this current world today is not the world's way. That is not the way we were given. We were not given physical weapons to go around shooting people up, killing people, and getting them out of the way. We were given weapons that are far more powerful than those ever were. Let me just give you these so we can identify our resources together, okay? First of all, you are saved fully, and you're forgiven fully. You are fully accepted in Christ into God's family. You have been fully empowered, fully authorized. You are a child of God. You are no longer your own. When you said Jesus Christ's way is the way, you surrendered the control of your life to Him. Now, that may not have been clear to you as we were going through, because some people just think it's about being saved so you can go to heaven. That's not what it's for. You are acknowledging that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's inheriting everything. He's the boss. And in that reception, you're coming to understand, I am surrendering my life to Him. He's saving me. He's saving me. I'm not having to save myself. That is a benefit of trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have to be saved, or you can't be in that family. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings who is creating a whole new world, who's coming again for that restored world. And you're going to be in it with Him. As His wife, to carry out an entire eternity with Him. You're not your own any longer. But here's the truth. You're still with a choice. You still can choose to do what He says to do or not. That's a mystery to me. Wouldn't it be better if He just came down and said, boom, I've saved you. That's what you're all going to do from now on. But that isn't. And we can choose. And sometimes I think living in a comfortable world is the worst possible thing can happen to Christians. We don't seem to get it. For some people, this is all the heaven they're ever going to get. Praise God that at least they're getting this heaven, huh? But not for you. Not for you. You have a kingdom to come. And sometimes it's so comfortable in this one, we forget about the kingdom to come. We forget what that kingdom's really all about, what Jesus is really all about. Do you realize it's going to be in righteousness that kingdom's going to be? So you're not your own any longer, and you still have choices you can make. Make them every day. You were saved for a purpose and are held accountable for that purpose. Yes, you can make any choice you want, but know this. Every choice you make every day has a price tag on it. Just because it doesn't happen that day doesn't mean it's not happening. You have a limited time to do this purpose. And here's the kicker. That's an unspecified time. We had 6 children, and with each of them, no certificate came. The state wrote one out, had to write one out so we can get the Social Security number so that everybody knows who owns who. No certificate came that said, bingo, here's your son. He will live X number of days. It wasn't there. Nothing was there except that beautiful little life that's being born to you. Here's your daughter and no days. Please understand this. I don't care how old you are. You've got a limited time to get this purpose done. That's all you got. And you have no idea when that thing is coming to an end. None. Not a single one of us. You're fully authorized and empowered to do it with excellence. You have all the tools you're going to need to get done what you need to do. And not only do you have the tools, you have the power to use those tools. God fully authorized you and empowered you to get this job done with excellence. Everybody with me? You are destined to lead in a world being restored for you. What you do now is the boot camp, is the training, is the school for what you're going to be doing in the world which is to come. This is your well done, good and faithful servant job. This is that thing where Jesus has given certain gifts to people, and he said to those people, make use of this gift. And as they make use of that gift, he will say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. He will say, you worthless servant. Everybody follow where I'm at? This is the time you've got there. It's in this limited time. Fully authorized, fully empowered, you have everything that you need, and he will say one day to you, well done, good and faithful servant, as you make use of that tool and the power that it has given to you. And you're destined to lead in that world, and what you do now will determine what you're going to do then. That's why I want you to know, if your faith only has you gliding into a cloud ride that's going to be harps and music and just having a good time, then you're missing out on what he's got in ahead for us. You'll be at work. In this world to come, you're going to be at work. This time, it won't be a world that resists you. This time, you'll see it the way he intended it when he made this whole thing. Glory to God. You will have a struggle. I'm going to promise you this. You will have a struggle getting it done. Resistance is a given. Jesus never promised us an easy life as we work our way to heaven. That's never what he promised. So if you got that opinion, that idea from when you trusted Christ, the whole world's going to be a nice, beautiful thing for you, I'd like you to change your mind today. It will not. You're going to have the normal struggles everybody has. This body, yeah, this earth suit you live in, it has pain, it has agony. It doesn't always do what you want it to do. Yes, it can get diseases, it can get cancers, it can get all kinds of things. Yes, you'll have that resistance, but that's not all. You'll have the resistance from yourself. Yourself doesn't want to do this work of Christ. Yourself wants to be your own boss. So you're going to have to fight that rascal. And if that wasn't enough, you've got a whole world system that supports you in that. You deserve it, kid. You need to live a good life. Look at all the good things you can have. Look at all the good things, and you'll pursue the wrong thing. You'll have to resist. And if that wasn't enough, you've got an adversary against you you can't even see who uses that whole world system to keep you blocked up all the time. So you're going to have a struggle. The world will be hostile to you. I know we'd like to think that if we just do good things, the world's going to love us, love us, love us. No, they're not. Jesus did good things, good things, good things, good things, and the world hated him. So get that out of your head. If that's in your head someplace, that I'm just going to have a slide into heaven with the world loving me and thinking I'm wonderful because I do good things, get it out of your head. It's not true. They're hostile. But here I want you to know this one too. There is great reward. Great reward from the Lord just simply for overcoming. For overcoming. There's reward for doing the right thing in your overcoming. As you overcome your own sin, as you overcome your own resistance, as you overcome the world in it, there is great reward coming for you. And I'm going to tell you, it's longer than this little brief period of time you've got here. You might do well after 40 years and have 40 years of comfort. That's great if that happens to you. But at the end of that 40, you're done. And so is your comfort. Let me share with you, for the Lord who is to come, that reward is everlasting. That's a long-term investment. You follow where I'm at? So having said those things, that's why we're having this series. We're living in a world that's hostile to us, and it's getting worse day by day. That is the Lord's way of saying, I'm pulling back my resistance to evil. I'm pulling back my resistance to evil. I'm stepping back from my resistance to evil. Why? Because I want evil to be clearly seen. I want you to see where all the cockroaches are. I want you to see where all the diseases. I want you to see where all the bad boys are. Let them come out. So I'll move my resistance back so there's nothing to keep them hidden anymore. And now they're out eating on your cabinets. Eating on your countertops, eating the food that you just put on the table. Everybody follow where I'm at? Molding as you see it put on the table. Now they're there. And nobody has to be blinded by that. You can all see it very clearly. Amen? It's only as we begin to eat moldy food and call those cockroaches our pets that we start having a problem. Understand where I'm coming from? He didn't call us to that, kids. He called us to be that which offsets. He called us to be that which shows what righteousness is. That shows what a gracious God really is. That's what he called us for. So if you can, let's look at our outline. Let's start going through that for today. What I've been trying to share with you is a key verse. Micah 6:8, which said, he has shown you, O man, what's good for you and what the Lord requires of you. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You could turn that around and just say, is to love God with your whole heart and your neighbors yourself. They're not different. Those are the same things. Jesus told us if we do those two commandments, we fulfill all the law. And those two commandments, you find the very nature of those commandments is doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. Let's don't make it more complex than it is. It's as simple as that. You say, is it as easy as that? I just told you there's a struggle in it. Just told you there's going to be resistance in it. No, it's not easy. Let's get some terms together, shall we? When we speak of just and justice, because we've talked about justice and compassion, that's what we're after. When we speak of just and justice, I want you to get this. It's putting things in the order in which God created them, okay? It's putting them in things in the order in which God created them. That's not the same as the world's justice. Why? When evil is on the rise, what do you suppose evil is going to call just? It's going to be evil. And that is not God's justice. So you're being called on to be representing God's justice in a world that is already calling evil just. Don't go to that justice. Go to the one God created. Everybody follow me? Listen, when we follow, and if I can just say it this way, a righteous earth, if I can just say a righteous earth is one in which there are adequate fungi, parasites, all kinds of things in that soil working together to create a fertile place for things to grow in. Everybody see what I'm saying? That's all the systems that God had put together to make a life. And then when that vegetation gets a chance to grow in that, it's righteous when the vegetation has enough water, it has enough air, it has enough light that it can grow. That's righteous. If you're just looking at the earth. Everybody follow me? So we could rightly say, when that's going on, the whole earth is full of His glory, isn't it? Every time you look at a tree, I want you to stop and say, oh my goodness, that tree's not standing there by itself. Think of all the systems that had to be at work. And know of all the root systems there, all of the leaf systems there, all the breathing that thing is doing, all the taking in of nutrients that thing is doing. I want you to stop and think for a minute and say, God, I praise you because you're so righteous. What a great tree. And look at that grass growing around it. Oh, my Father, I thank you. I got more oxygen again today. What an awesome God you are to be so righteous. Ever follow that? It's only as you mess up that system that it becomes unrighteous. When you put that system back the way it's supposed to be, that's called justice. Everybody with me? When I'm working to put the system back the way God created it, that's called justice. Now, I know that you say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with our lives as Christian. It has everything to do with your life as Christian. This is the world you live in. Now, if I can, let's just extend that into our human realm, shall we? God made us and designed us that we'd be a people who want to love Him, have fellowship with Him. He would share in our life, we'd share in His life, and we'd be making a whole new place of this place. That's what He designed us for. We're the ones that perverted it. And we decided, no, I like what Elisa has. I'm going to have Elisa's. No, I'm going to take Ron's because Ron's got something I really want. And now we start competing with each other. I altered things. And as soon as I did, that became unjust. Justice is putting it back the way that God created it. Everybody with me? So that's. I hope that's just a simple enough explanation to help us see. When we speak of just and justice, we're talking about putting things back the way God created them, not the way the evil world is saying this would be justice if you did it. Compassion. Look, compassion is related to that Hebrew word hesed that you find in the Old Testament. That's more than mercy, kids. Mercy means, and I love this Awana definition that we use all the time, mercy means God not giving me what I deserve. Hesed is more than mercy. It's God giving me what I don't deserve. Compassion is looking at people in their suffering, in the things they're going through, and feeling the grace that says, I know they may have done this to themselves. I know it's in the rebellion they have done this, but I'm intending to do good toward them. That's compassion. It's a step beyond sympathy. This is a lifestyle. It is the heart of God. That's the word that's involved in, for God so loved the world. And as His love overflowed, it became compassion. And He said He gave His only. Wow. Doesn't that just move you? That God so loved the world that He had compassion. That said, I know what they did. I know they're rebels. And I know they don't want me. But I'm moving in their behalf. That's compassion. To restore them to myself. I'm going to do something they cannot do themselves. That whoever believes in me would have everlasting life and would live forever with me. That's what He's doing. That's the gospel. That's what's up. That is spirit-filled humility and boldness. If I can say it this way, seeing the need for mercy and bringing justice and taking the actions to meet it. It isn't just feeling sympathy and saying, boy, I really feel sorry for them. Great. Now, not only get sympathetic, get empathetic and move. Move toward that. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Neither did we. But hesed came to us. Grace came to us. Compassion came to us and changed us. How did Jesus reveal justice and compassion? How did Jesus walk humbly with God? Listen, he's our model. We may have a lot of heroes of our faith, but when you get right down to it, all of them are the same flawed people we are. I want to see who's the real model, don't you? And that real model is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at that just for a minute. The ministry of Jesus and the disciples. Look with me, please, at Mark chapter 1 just for a moment. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. There had been a man that came before the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And he got out of the wilderness. He was calling people out in the wilderness to come to him. He was saying, here's the situation. We've sinned against God. God's calling us now to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's just about to get here. The kingdom of God is on its way. Something is coming that's happening. I'm supposed to make straight the ways of the Lord. I'm supposed to get things ready for him because the kingdom is coming. That was John the Baptist teaching. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 1 in verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So I can say this, the ministry of Jesus and his disciples was, first of all, the declaration of the coming kingdom of God. The declaration of the coming kingdom of God. Kids, that's what we've got to talk about. We are the new Noahs, if I can say it that way. A judgment is coming on this world. Noah was building an ark. And as he's building the ark, he's called a preacher of righteousness. He's telling people a judgment is coming. He's letting them know God's about to do a massive thing here that's going to bring about a whole new world. A judgment is coming. So there has to be this declaration of the kingdom of God. There is a judgment coming, people. It's a serious, big judgment. Can you see? It's like this world is welling up into a great big boil, a great big pimple, just loaded with its infection, if you would. And this whole thing is going to be an infected explosion. And when it is, there's a lot of people going to pay dearly. People are paying dearly all over the world now. And we're pretty well insulated from it. But can you see that it's not far away here? What would it take? If the banks closed tomorrow, would it change the way you live? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. If you've got any kind of debt at all and you can't pay it tomorrow, will that change your world? Yes, it will. That's just minor things that would change the whole world. If a major natural disaster took place, would it change your world? Yes. Yes, it will. There's a coming kingdom. And we have to have a declaration of it, a preaching of it. That's what Jesus was doing. Next, Jesus was teaching, correcting God's order of things, that righteousness and justice are known. Jesus was teaching them the right order of things. Why? Because it's easy for people to mess up and get the wrong order of things. Everybody follow on that? At the time of Jesus' teaching, there was a whole body of men that came to be known as rabbis. And those rabbis lived in different schools. They were taught by different credentialed people. And their goal was to state what the law really meant. So they knew this. There's a written law. That's the book you had, the Tanakh you'd find in the Torah. There was the written law. That's what the Sadducees believed. So the Sadducees in Jesus' day believed the written law. Five books. That's what they trusted in. And if it wasn't in those five books, they didn't believe it. Consequently, since the prophets are not found in the Torah, the first five books, they didn't believe the prophets. Along comes the Pharisees, say, no. That's a whole book. And they believed Torah, and they believed history, and they believed the prophets. Now, a group called the scribes had been writing all of those down and making sure they had gathered up and compiled and edited what we now call the Old Testament. They brought that all together, and the Pharisees were reading that. And as they were reading it, they were creating a body of notes, study notes, if you would, out to the margin of the text of Moses. And those out little text things they were writing, those little laws and rules they were writing, they said they were getting from Moses, that Moses was orally telling them what the law was, that Moses was giving them oral commandments. That's why the rabbis had such power. Everybody follow me? They were somehow connecting to Moses, and Moses' spirit was giving them an understanding of what to write in that law. That was the oral law. When those things got down, they became known as the traditions of the elders. Everybody with me on that? That's what became known as the traditions. And they were teaching those traditions as if that's what the text said. Consequently, when the text said, do no work on the Sabbath, they told you what work on the Sabbath meant. So here's all the study rules. So now people started obeying the applications these guys were making as if they were the law. It would be like all of us reading our John MacArthur notes and our study Bibles there and saying, that's the Word of God. No, it isn't. It's John's word about the Word of God. Everybody follow where we're coming from? The Bible is the text. Read the text. So they were reading the notes and letting the notes be. So here comes Jesus. Who has written the Torah? Can I share you? Jesus. That's his book. I'd think the author might know what the interpretation would be. What do you think? So Jesus comes, and in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, just as one illustration, he said, you have heard it said that, and tells what were the notes in the text. But I say to you, and he was right to the text. Jesus is setting in order the things as they're supposed to be. He is dealing with the traditions of the elders because they are not law. They are things that men made up as law. Everybody follow where I'm at? So now he is telling them this is the right order of things. You know what that's called when you put things back in their proper order? Justice. Justice. Because that's what's righteous. When God said it this way, that's what justice is. That's what righteousness is. And those are the same things. Okay? So Jesus came teaching and correcting God's order of things that righteousness and justice can be known. So now we have Jesus' word to go on. This is what God meant when he said it. John tells us this way. Jesus came and exegeted God for us. Jesus came and showed us what God was. Jesus told us the truth about God, not the things that the Second Temple Judaism had been saying about what God is. He is God, so he's telling us what God's like. Matter of fact, he'd be so closely to it when Thomas would say, show us the Father and it suffices. And Thomas, he would say to Thomas, have I been that long with you and you still haven't got it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. While you're still here in the book of Mark, look at verses 21 and following for a moment. He says, then he went into Capernaum immediately on the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone! What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, who is this? What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So Jesus did that as a magic trick. Not at all, kids. What's he doing? He is declaring his authority over all the principalities and powers. They know who they're dealing with. This is the commander in chief. This is the head of that whole divine council. This is the head over us all. This is the Son of the Father. And Jesus wouldn't let them speak about that. That's not how he wanted himself known. But do you see this? He was dealing with principalities and powers. That's number three. He was dealing with the principalities and powers, making his own authority known. He was demonstrating his love and mercy and compassion. Listen, once he's trying to put things back in their proper order again and stating what those are, I want you to know he still had compassion on the people. It says he saw the multitudes. I think we read it in Matthew 9 this morning. And seeing the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had been misled, and he is moved with compassion for them. He's drawing them in. He's teaching them. Here's the right things. I know this is what you've been taught, but what you've been taught is incorrect. This is the right stuff. I'm telling you from God, the Creator himself, this is the right stuff. And not only that, but healing them. In some situations, forgiving them. In situations, restoring them. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, full of compassion, full of righteousness, full of justice, and he's demonstrating it. Do you see who this is? Do you see why you ought to trust him? This is the Son of God. This one is the Messiah. He demonstrated over and over again. Number five in your outline. He's revealing his kingdom is not of this world, so no efforts were made in conquest, protest, or violence against the state. Turn with me to John chapter 18 a moment. John chapter 18. Here, Jesus has been brought before Pilate. So in verse 33, if you'd pick up with me here, John 18, 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again. He called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answers, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate says, "Then are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him." Now, I want you to get the picture. If Jesus' kingdom was of this world, he would have had his guys picking up their guns, picking up their RPGs, picking up all of the weapons and throwing everybody out. That is not our way of fighting. Why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. Now, unless you get the wrong idea, is there supposed to be a police force? Yes. Is there supposed to be an army? Yes. But not to bring in the kingdom of God. Justice has to be taken care of. Yes. But not to bring in the kingdom of God. Everybody see where we're coming from? It's a major difference, kids. Number six, he lived by faith and the power of the Spirit. What Jesus did, he did in submission to the Father. He fully trusted the Father. And so complete was his submission, which, by the way, is an example of what ours is to be. He is our model. That his example of that submission was to say this, "I do nothing of my own. What my Father does, I do. What I see my Father say, I speak. What I hear my Father say, I speak. I only do what my Father says." And since his whole life is about you, he is saying, "And what I am doing, I do power of the Holy Spirit." Everybody follow me? Because that's the way you're going to live. You're going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not simply going to be you trying harder. He lived by faith in his Father, and he lived by the power of the Spirit. He lived and operated within God's eternal timetable but intensely one day at a time. He's not rushing the bringing in of the kingdom of God. We're 2,000 years after that, kids. The kingdom of God is still not here, yet it's here. It's already not yet. You have the kingdom of God inside you, but it's not here yet. Everybody see where I'm at? Jesus was living with God's timetable, not people's. In Acts chapter 1, all the disciples get together and say, hey, is this the time that the kingdom is going to be restored? Is this it? Jesus said, it's not for you to know whether that's this time or not time. Don't worry about that. Here's what you have as a responsibility. And he gave them the responsibility. Jesus lived intensely one day at a time. How do you suppose our model wants us to live? Intensely, one day at a time, by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, realizing that our kingdom is not of this world, so we're not going to use worldly methods to take it down. It's realized that we are wrestling against principalities and powers, and we're to deal with them in exactly that way. We're to demonstrate His love, His mercy, His compassion. That's supposed to be living its way out of us. It's already in us, kids. We're not having to create that. His love and compassion are already in us. If you have been a born-again child of God, that was downloaded into you the day you trusted Christ. You have everything you need. It came to you already. Go with me to the next page. Turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would. Acts chapter 1. Now, it might be easy enough to say, you know, Jesus inspires me so much, I think I want to do things that Jesus did. Well, that's kind of a worldly way of looking at things, if I can say that. That's a worldly way of looking at things. Because here's what the truth is. Acts chapter 1. Read with me. I'll read aloud. Let's pick up on verse 1. The former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see that? Pertaining to the kingdom of God. We'll come back to that one because that's an important one. We'll do that today, but we'll come back to it. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Listen, he is commissioning his church to carry on his mission, empowering them to do it. It's not just that they were inspired by his model and decided to do something. No, he commanded them to do it and commissioned them to do it. And empowered them to do it. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Kids, you have received the Holy Spirit. You have it. That is your complete power in this life. That was given to you by God. You follow what I was trying to tell you at the beginning? This is what it is. You're not your own any longer. But you can make choices. Now, where we're going from this, when we pick up letter D next week, no, not next week. Week after that. I won't be here next week. Pastor Al will be speaking with you next Sunday. But on the following Sunday, we're going to pick it up at letter D because I want to focus a lot of attention on this. This is critically important for us to understand. What were we commissioned to do? What were you empowered to do? What does he want from you? What's he requiring of you? All right. Today, if for the first time you're understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, today I'm calling you to turn from trusting anything else, repent of all of that stuff, and put your trust and faith in Jesus as that Christ. Now, if God has spoken to you about that, you'll understand exactly what I mean. If he hasn't, please ask God to show you mercy that you can see that. Because there is a judgment coming. A dead, serious, earnest judgment. And he's going to be ridding the current world of everything that's in it to restore it and give it to the people who have trusted him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. Lord over sin, Lord over life, Lord over death, Lord over the dead, Lord over those who yet live. We thank you that Jesus is that Christ. Now thank you for what you're going to do in each one of us as we submit ourselves to you right now. We recognize that even this moment, we're living in a choice. Shall we go on? Shall we do those things that we know you have just commanded us to do? Or shall we stall it another day and find our comfort in this present world? Thank you in Jesus' name. Look, we're not in an occupation. This is not a hobby we're doing. We're a born-again people, a brand-new people of God. And we've got a purpose. We've got a power. We've got a principle. We've got everything that we need. Let's walk in Him, shall we? Let's look forward in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our relationship with you and with each other. Thank you that you have made us a family, not by anything which we did, but by causing us each to be born again and born into this precious family. Thank you, Father, for giving us a purpose-lived life together. And thank you for what you're going to accomplish in us as we begin to express compassion, we begin to express mercy, we begin to express justice. Thank you for what you're going to do. Please dismiss us with your grace and power just now, Father. As we leave here, we leave as an empowered people to declare the gospel of the kingdom. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.